Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Woody Allen said that 80% of success is just showing up. I say that 100% of success is knowing your personality color. Well, that gives you an insight as far as what today's going to be as far as the show topic. It's called Success, What's Personality Got to Do with It? And I'm going to be sharing the information that is from my book on managing people, What's Personality Got to Do with It? But we're really going to be looking at success from a variety of perspectives, not only, you know, that success isn't a one-size-fit-all, but what role does your personality play in success and creating the success that you're desiring deep inside? And then also success and motivation go hand in hand. And the interesting part with all of my personality work, and I've been doing this, oh my gosh, 28 years, I realized that the other day. For 28 years, I've been recognizing over and over again the role that our personality plays in how it really impacts the decisions that we make, the way we communicate, the tasks that we're drawn to, the tasks we procrastinate around, the people that we're around, the people that we avoid. And it just touches so much part of our life. And if we go outside of our personality color and that neurological connection that's associated with it, then what happens is, in effect, we really set ourselves up for failure versus success. So that's what the day's going to be. I'm going to be talking a lot about some of the common success blockers that each of the four colors have. If you don't know your personality color, I encourage you to, if you've got your computer in front of you, go to my website, www.Reitberger.com. There's a little mini assessment on there. The accuracy isn't as much as my yellow personality would like it to be, but it gives you a real good sense of who you are, your color. And then as I continue the show and I talk about the colors, then what you'll do is you'll have a sense to be able to connect the dots as to your color, success, motivation, and some of the blockers that your personality color actually is susceptible to. And then what I'm going to be doing in the last half of the show is I'm going to be talking about the 7 keys to unlocking the door to success, and going to be a packed full show, as you can tell. And I hope it's going to be fun, but more importantly, I hope that it's going to be insightful for you, because so much of what we're being asked to do in this time of change is to adapt in that change and then create the environment that will allow us to truly be successful. So many times we started out a job because it was what we did out of high school, or what someone else thought we needed to do, or maybe our dad said, okay, well, you're not going to be this, or your mother said you're not going to be that. So what we find is we get trapped into jobs and careers, situations where it really doesn't represent or reflect who we are. We spend a lot of our life doing those things and then wondering why we never succeed at it. And success is not only the financial part of it, but it's really the warm fuzzies that we get from what we do. So again, a very, very full show. I hope you'll find it a lot of fun. And you may have started this show out with a name and a phone number and a social security number and a cell number and all the numbers that we have in our life. But I'm hoping that after I talk about the different colors and then also talk about how these different colors look at success, you will poof become a personality color and have more insight into who you are. And really, success starts with knowing who you are. I'm also going to be taking your calls throughout the show. So if you have a question for me about personality or about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062. Oh, we've got another line, and this one is not only for U.S., Canada, but international callers. You can call as well. It's 425-644-5620. Now, I alluded when I first started the show that the fact that success and the definition is that a one size fits all. That is very, very true, not only from the perception of success, but in this particular case, I'm talking more about the actual motivation behind success. If you're perception of what success is based on somebody else's perception or their personality color, and you try to live up and measure yourself through by their success, really what you're doing is you're setting yourself up for failure. And the reason for this is, again, not everyone sees success by the same color. For example, for some people and personality colors, success is the accumulation of wealth and status. Others see success as being the presence of close relationships and the quality of those relationships. Then there's other people who don't see success either as wealth or relationships, but really see it and measure themselves more on their accomplishments or that satisfaction they get from achieving something. Then there's the people who see success more as an inner wealth than an outer wealth, and who view themselves as being very successful just by living a meaningful and purposeful life. So right away you can see one size doesn't fit all. It's important to remember that success begins with a thought. And again, that goes back to why it's important for you to know who you are. Because success begets a success. And what I mean by that is that when you're clear and concise of how you measure your success and what motivates you, that energy, that thought becomes a transmitter, and it basically goes out into the energy field, and it attracts people and draws, like a magnet, draws people and situations and opportunities to you that can allow you to experience the task or the relationship or the career, whatever it may be that you sent out to the universe. It'll attract it back to you, so then you can see the success, feel the success, and be able to measure it. So success as a word is a law of magnetic attraction. If you send it out, that's what you get. Now, there's another part of energy that a lot of people aren't aware of, that's something called sympathetic energy. And for example, say that you have affirmations around success thoughts and all these things that you can visualize that you're going to do. And if success is a material good, maybe it's a new car, and maybe that car is red, and maybe it's a convertible, and maybe it has this magnificent sound system. And if that's how you measure your success, then what you do is you can visualize that. You can do create affirmations. But if deep down inside you don't believe that you're worthy of having that beautiful red car with the top down and the stereo system and the wind in your face and everything else on it, what's going to happen is that sympathetic energy is going to go out, and it's going to chase down your affirmations. It's going to chase down your thoughts. And what it's going to do is it's going to look for all those little fears that you have inside, or those feelings of inadequacy, or that lack of worthiness, whatever it may be. We all have them. We're all very, very human that way. But what happens is we can affirm. We can visualize. But if we don't truly believe that we are deserving of the success that we truly desire and that we truly know we're capable of manifesting, basically what happens is the energy becomes contradictory, chases it down, basically neutralizes it. And then what happens is we never get to a place where we really experience the success that we're really capable of. So we have to really be careful when we're thinking about success, about the mixed messages. And whenever I'm working with someone on a one-to-one basis, I'll say to them, I'll ask them, I said, so what's success? And they'll say, well, winning the lottery, or having more money in the bank than I could ever possibly spend, or having a house, or having a relationship. So I get a sense of what their measurement, what their desire is, and how they're going to measure success as far as the quality of it. And then I will say to them, I said, do you really believe that you deserve this? And in most cases, frankly, I will get a place where I get a hesitancy. And then they may go in, do their affirmations, visualizations, whatever they're doing. They say, absolutely, Carol. And I said to them, somewhere in that pause, there is something deep inside that is sending mixed messages, because have you created that relationship, or have you created more money in your bank account than you can possibly ever spend? And they say no. And they said, I don't know why, because I work hard, I stay focused, I do all the things that we learn from self-help, I, you know, understand that thought is energy. And they go on and on and on. And I said to them, you hesitated in believing that you truly deserve what you desire. And success isn't a destination. It's a journey. It's a process that we go through. And again, if we don't believe that we're worthy, or we have feelings of inadequacy, then what's going to happen is that sympathetic energy is going to go and find that one single little insecurity or that one little doubt, and it'll build off of it, and it sends mixed messages. And actually, energetically, it neutralizes what you've put so much effort into in order to be able to be successful. So I'll say to people, let's start with something that's really small. What can you do today? One step you can do today to move you toward the success you desire. One step. And a lot of times, frankly, it takes some time to think about that. But if you could take one step today to move you closer to what you desire and the success that's associated with that, and at the end of the day, if you can, before you close your eyes at night, and you could say, this was a good day because I took that step, and you really believe that that step is going to get you where you want to, I will tell you, the law of attraction will not only manifest what you desire in a faster manner, but it's going to exceed your wildest expectations. Now, I've had people say to me, oh, Carol, gosh, you know, that sounds like all this self-help hype. It is not. It is literally thoughts, law of attraction, and being sure that every part of our being believes, not a belief, but believes that we are worthy of being able to have the success that we truly desire. What I found in my personality work, and I use color basically to differentiate the personality colors because it's a non-threatening way, first of all, for us to look at ourselves. We're less inclined to label ourselves as being a loser or being a failure or some of the other wonderful terms of endearment we have toward ourselves. It's a lot easier to say to ourselves, oh, I'm a yellow. Oh, no wonder I have to think this thing over and over and over and over and be clear. And then as a yellow, I have to say, come on, Carol, you've thought it over at some point in time. You've got to stop thinking about it and act on it. So from that standpoint, it's easier for me to say, Carol, you're just being very yellow, instead of going, Carol, you've got analysis paralysis. You're basically immobilizing yourself. You're creating and sabotaging everything that's happening, blah, blah, blah. The ways that, you know, that magnificent self-talk that's so endearing to ourselves that we don't say to anybody else, but in our own mind, wow, we're just really kind, aren't we? And so what I can say is, oh, you're just being yellow. And then it's like, oh, okay, it's a neutral way for me to recognize that my mind is spinning. I'm not getting anywhere with anything. And then also it helps me realize that if I'm not getting ahead, then maybe I'm working towards success based on somebody else's parameters. Maybe what I need to rethink is my parameters around success. As a yellow, I measure success by achievement, by accomplishment. Once I accomplish something, I move immediately on to the other. The next thing, people will say to me, well, Carol, you never stay long enough in order to really savor what you've accomplished. That's very true. That's something I'm working on, but it's very true. But my neurology is that way. And if I know that I'm going to accomplish this and move on to the next thing, then I just accept that in who I am instead of going in back to the labeling part of it. So very important. Again, the reason I work with personality is that because it's that neurological hardwiring. It's that hardwiring we're born with. It's the hardwiring that helps us throughout our entire life, bring our soul's intentions into expression. It is also that neurological hardwiring about how we gather information, how we make decisions, and then how we act on those decisions. And we certainly have enough help in our conditioning and our youth and everything to try to change us into something that we're really not. And so we have to be very clear and concise. The colors that I use are red, orange, yellow, green. Several reasons for that is because they're tied to the lower chakras. The lower chakras are our physical chakras. They are the chakras where what we think manifests, not only in thoughts and emotions, but also manifest in the physicalness of our outer environment and then also in our physical body. I also chose these colors because in the psychology of color, these colors actually change the physiology of the body, as well as the psychological implications around whether we're clear in thinking or not. So a lot of research around that. So you have four choices. You can either be a red, orange, yellow, green. That's your primary neurology. But of course, we are a little bit of every rainbow because we've been controlled or manipulated or conditioned, or we try to seek other people's approval, or we need power, or we need control. Whatever our little motivation is inside, we may have a variation of that color in order to survive, but we really are one color. So what I'm going to do before I go into starting to take a call is I'm going to actually talk about two of the colors. I'm going to start with red, and I'm going to go with red and orange. And then in the second segment, I'll pick up with the yellow and the green. Why the red and the orange? Because in reality, the statistical work I did in my research is that the majority of personalities that have been exposed to personality assessments, whether they're given as administered for through a psychologist, psychiatrist, or a counselor, career counselor, or someone who just wants to know who they are, I found that the red personality is the majority of the neurology that's gracing this earth. And what I find is with the red, they're the just get it done people. Success for their personality is measured by money and status. They define success as being in a power position to control their environment and other people. The motivation behind their drive is the desire to accumulate material wealth and to provide the basic needs for the people that they love. The success blocker for the red is when they compromise their integrity in pursuit of wealth or in their need to get ahead. A suggestion for the red personality is when they find themselves in an integrity compromising situation, step back and reevaluate what's truly important to them. Is it their integrity or is it money? And it takes a little bit of time for them to figure it out. But in the long run, even though they're motivated by money and status, when it comes to success, integrity is much more important than the money they're going to put in their wallet. What this is going to do is when they focus on what their integrity and they keep that as what's most important, and then they don't fall victim to greed or corruption or fall victim to other people's whims and fancies and as far as their motivation. The second color is the orange personality, and I chose that again from the statistical standpoint being the second because while they're not as pervasive as far as a personality color in the personality world, they're a wonderful bridge between those people, the red, the just get it done people, and then the greens who would like to just, you know, experience things. And experiencing things doesn't always mean that you have to get something done or hit a deadline. So now we have this beautiful orange personality that's a bridge between both of those worlds. The orange personality is the let's all get along people. Success for them is measured by the amount of security and stability they have in their lives. And that's not so much financial stability and security as it is having a very stable and secure relationship with the person that they love and they're connected with. Now that begins with their spouse or their partner, and then it trickles down to their children. So they actually measure success on the quality of their relationships and how well those relationships fulfill their emotional needs and how capable they are of fulfilling the emotional needs of the people that they love. They define success as being in a position to influence the quality over people's lives. The motivation behind their drive is the need to take care of people and the need to be able to bring that taking care of people into, you know, little helpful things such as things that are conflict-free environment or things that makes people's life happy. I mean, an orange will do something, never even being asked, they'll do something like picking up the cleaning or running errands, or they're so thoughtful that maybe you mentioned that you needed to do something a couple weeks before. That orange will go in and will do those things for you, never even asking whether you want them to, and really not needing a lot of praise for doing it. It's just so they can see you smile, they can see you be happy and so forth, and to just know that they've made your life easier. That truly is the motivation of the orange. The success blocker for them is blame. Every time they get caught in a loop of blaming somebody else for not getting what they want, or they blame people for not helping them when they want to something, this blame game that oranges fall susceptible to really disempowers them. It separates them from the relationships that basically are how they measure success. So very, very important. A suggestion for the orange personality is not to relinquish responsibility of achieving success through relationships to someone else. What does that mean? That means that if the orange isn't getting what they need from a relationship, meaning creating a mutually beneficial relationship, they're not asking for their needs to be before someone else. But if it's not mutually satisfying, then the orange has got to go in and talk to the person and say to them, this is what I need in order for this relationship to be successful. And by doing that, they take control of the situation, and then they're able to go in and to feel like they are cooperating and there's a unity in the relationships and that everyone is happy. Again, conflict-free environment is so important to the success and the motivation of the orange personality. So you can see right then, just between those two personalities, one size doesn't fit all. Okay, I'm going to jump right in. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to start out with Wendy from Maryland. Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
You're welcome. How can I help you, hon?
Wow, you just said a lot. I think I'm an orange, just listening to what you said. And I'm obviously looking for confirmation, but just to see what exactly that role has been playing in my current success and maybe point me in the direction of where my success is headed. While you were talking, I kind of defined my success as happiness, so quality of relationships is key, and also financial security. Not necessarily to be in control and have a ton of money, but to be secure.
Absolutely. So all of those characteristics that you talked about and traits are all traits of the orange personality. And again, as you said, so important for other oranges that are listening. It isn't that you have to have a lot of money in the bank. You just need to know that you will have the amenities that are needed, the food, the shelter, the clothes, the care that's needed, the roof over the head for the people that you love to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. So in your home, that's what you're going to naturally do. And if you recognize that your measurement of your personal success is how well you do that, then it's very easy for you to get the accolades or the thank yous from your family. If you're not, then what you're doing, your family isn't recognizing what you're doing. And sometimes you'll just need to say to somebody, you know, all I need is just a thank you. And then what that'll do is that will remotivate you. One of the things that is very compatible and in alignment with the orange's motivation and the perception of success is always being able to give to other people. Whether you do that in a voluntary situation, where you're going to be a volunteer, or maybe you're going to be helping out with a variety of different things that will benefit not only you, but benefit your family and other people. Those are the things that'll make you feel like you're successful. The other thing with the orange personality is they're great counselors. They're great teachers. They're very good at teaching a lot of the basics like cooking and sewing and things. And this isn't just a gender thing. It's just something that happens with that personality. If you were to be in the work world, you'd be very good as an assistant, administrative assistant. But even more importantly, oranges are really successful in a management position where they manage people. And the reason for that is they create a very cooperative, a very unified, a very much of a community feeling in the organization that's an open door policy where people can come in and share how they are. The orange is always the one that goes out and does what I call emotional trolling. They go out and they ask people, how are you feeling? How are you doing? Is there anything that I can help you with? Is there anything that you have a suggestion to be able to make this a better place? So those really are the qualities of the orange. And when they marry those qualities, not only with their family, but if outside of their home, with tasks that allow them to interact with people and to be able to create this being of service, as I call it, then they're very successful, not only from the standpoint of the recognition that they need, again, not a lot of it, but more importantly, they get those warm fuzzies in their heart. And that's really how the orange measures their success, are by those warm fuzzies in the heart.
Wow, that was amazing to me, because there were so many elements of what I have done in the past and what I'm currently doing. And I guess now I'm just really intrigued with my future, because I stopped working And now I'm looking to re-enter the workforce, and I'm a little bit confused where my niche is.
Well, go back in. And one of the things when I do the career counseling around personality, I start out by saying, the first thing I always say to an orange is, what do you really love to do? And we just start there. And then I go, what are you really good at? And then we basically, because an orange connects with things emotionally and their neurology. That's how, you know, as an orange, you measure what you want to do if it feels good or it doesn't. And anytime you compromise, if say, for example, you jump out of your orange and you get into the red because you're afraid of money, of not having money, and you take a job that is going to be suited for a red that is basically around money, honey, you're not going to be happy. And then in reality, within 6 months, you're going to start having aches and pains and different ailments in your body. That's how powerful this understanding ourself is. Mm-hmm. So go in and ask yourself, what do you really love doing? Mm-hmm. And then look back at your history. What are you really good at? And list those items that you're really good at. Mm-hmm. And, you know, personable and being able to create strong relationships with people and being able to sustain those relationships and having, you know, being that walking ear where everybody wants to share with you. See, the thing is that maybe in the business world, we don't place a lot of value on that. But I will tell you, any successful organization has got their fair share of oranges that basically create that bridge between the needs of the people and the needs of the company. Mm-hmm. So as you're looking at that, that's something for, that's the first place for you to start. And then look at the next thing is, what are you really good at? And then whatever job you're considering or you're looking, whether it's volunteer or whatever, look at the task. If the tasks keep you isolated and keep you on the phone or keep you away from interacting with people, it's not a healthy match for you.
Okay.
So well, a place up. You are so welcome. You have a wonderful artist inside of you, sweetie, that's just crying to get out there. So let's see what we can do from that. Well, I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and then I'm going to come right back, and I'm going to pick up with the yellow and the green personality and take a couple more calls. So please stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
And we're talking about success, what's personality got to do with it. I am taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about your personality, about your health, in the U.S. and Canada, you can call me at 877-230-3062, or you can call 425-644-5620, and that call can come in from the U.S., Canada, and even international callers. There's an interesting misperception around what really determines success, and that misperception is that in order to be successful, you've got to have a positive mental attitude. That is true, but that isn't the primary motivator because it is an integral part of it. But you have to go in and you have to even define for yourself by your color, what is a positive attitude? It'd be great to think that in truth we're positive as far as our attitude on every aspect of our life. But in reality, there's parts that we're positive about, and then there's those lurking parts deep down inside that we're not sure of, and, you know, that's a little pessimistic, and, well, we're good here, but, oh, I could never do that. So, again, you have to go in and know your personality color, and then when you do, then what you do is the mental attitude and the emotional attitude really matches who you are, your personality strength. So now what you're doing is, rather than seeking other people's approval, you're seeking your own. Rather than meeting other people's expectations, you're meeting your own expectations. So the bottom line of that really is, no matter how much someone learns to mentally program themselves for success, if they aren't successful, they're not going to be successful, because that means that they're measuring it by somebody else's perception. A fabulous thing about the soul is the soul will never put you in a position of failure. It will always put you in a position of success. The only thing that puts you in a position of failure is your mind. Something food for thought for that. Also, what I'd like to do is that I'd like to invite you to my Your Health teleclass. It's going to be coming up September 24th. The topic for this month is fibroids. I'm going to be talking about fibrocystic disease, both of breast and uterine fibroids, and sharing some of the hidden meanings behind them as far as the psychological aspect, what they look like in the energy field, how they map in the chakra system, and then also what role does your personality play in the development of fibroids. And I'd love to think I'm so intuitive, and I really am on some levels, but when I chose this particular topic of fibroids, then what I found is, and I'm doing a show beginning the month on success, a lot of the fibroids that we have in our body, and whether it's male or female, males of course don't get it in the uterine area, but they do in the breast area, fibroids are toxic dump sites. All those sense of failure, all those beliefs that we have of ourselves, that we're not good enough, we're not worthy enough, we can't accept ourselves, all this blah, 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 all of those become the energetic source of the psychological implications and development of fibroids or fibrocystic disease. So I'm going to be talking about that. I'll be talking about the disease as well. So if it's something that you're interested in, I encourage you to go to my website, www.ritberger.com, RITBERGER.com. You can register online. The date again is September 24th. It's at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, 8 o'clock p.m. standard Eastern time. So I'm hoping that you'll join me. It should be a lot of fun and very, very informative as far as some of the psychological implications and personality that we're talking about today. All right, so let's do the last two personalities. The yellow personality is the let's do it different people. They're always wanting to build a better mousetrap. They can actually be a pain in the bottom to people because all they do is identify problems. They're not trying to be a troublemaker or to just find the problems from the standpoint of trying to make your life miserable, but they literally, in their neurology, are designed to solve problems. Well, you can't solve problems if you can't find them. So success for the yellow is being able to ferret out problems and then to come to some solutions or present solutions to take care of those problems. Success to the yellow is measured not by other people's observation or praise, but or by relationships or the accumulation of wealth. Their success is measured through personal satisfaction that they get from accomplishing something that's difficult or significant. There's no greater words than a yellow can say to themselves or someone else says to a yellow is, this cannot be done. It's impossible. That clicks that yellow immediately into that neurological game that goes through and back and forth and back and forth in the brain. They will see that particular problem from so many different angles. They'll come up with different solutions. They'll weigh all the different solutions. They'll come up with one solution, and voila, when they come up with that one solution, they feel really good. Whew. Even as a yellow made me get a little bit tired neurologically, can you imagine what it does for the other personality colors? Yellows define success by achieving their goals, not the goals of others, and being able to influence the way things are done. The motivation behind their drive is their desire to make a difference and to do things different than it was ever done before. In other words, I call it build a better mousetrap. The success blocker for the yellow is their constant need to tweak and to modify, even when something's working well. As a yellow, I'll go in and think, you know, I just need to kind of step back, look at this. What can I do to make it better? It's that knee-jerk part of my neurology. And a lot of times what I do is I don't take the time to think it through. I start the tweaking, and then lo and behold, I have a problem on my hand and I don't feel successful. So a suggestion for the yellow is to let what's working work. And then to stop tweaking it and stop trying fine-tuning it. Yes, it will let you know when it becomes a problem. When it becomes a problem and it isn't working, yellow, you're going to know that before anybody else. That's the time to step in and tweak it. The last personality color is the green personality. They're the personality that says, let's experience it all. Greens love experiences. They love to experience anything and everything. They love change. They will change anything and everything all at one time. It isn't necessarily a methodical process like the red personality. They measure their success by the freedom to do their own thing, call their own shots, explore new opportunities, meet new people, visit new places, but most important, to march to their own drummers. They define success as living a meaningful life, being happy, finding joy. And the more inner wealth they have than the outer wealth, the happier they are. The motivation behind their drive is the desire to experience it all, and they are going to literally seek that out. Now, one of the things, if a green comes in, if you're going to measure your success at staying with the same job for 25 or 30 years, which doesn't happen very much in our working environment right now, but if you're in a job that you can't stand, you don't want to get up in the morning, you can't stand to stay there, you find that maybe you're getting sick at your stomach, or you've been there and you need the security, blah, blah, all the conditioning you have, and it's not what you want, then what I encourage you to do is to go in and to find something different, something that's going to give you the flexibility. Greens, you're also very, very motivated by people and creating the success by people. You just want to plant the ideas. You're kind of like a Johnny Appleseed. The success blocker for the green is your fickleness. It's hard for you to stay with one thing long enough to sometimes reap the rewards of your efforts. A good suggestion for a green is learning to manage your impulsiveness. I say that with great love and not with judgment. Your impulsiveness is the very thing that people love about you. They love your flexibility, your adaptability, and so forth. But sometimes it can work against you, especially if you know that you really like it and that change element comes in, and then all of a sudden you change just because you need to change. And a lot of times you push your success away by not sticking with what you really love. That's the key word, as I said, with the orange in the call. I always start with the greens. What do you really love? That's what I said to the orange, but I'd say the green. What do you really, 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 really love to do? And then look at the task that are around the things that you love to do, and then look at the tasks that you're doing in your life. And that's the first aha for a green, is that maybe what they're doing isn't where they should be. The other part of it is greens, grass isn't always greener on the other side of the fence. So again, spend some time with yourself. Go in and find out what you can do that can help you achieve the success in the way you measure it. You are motivated by relationships. You're motivated by experiences and being able to see it, do it all in life. So there's your motivation. So a job, if you go into a job that's going to have you sitting at a desk in a small cubicle for a long period of time and you can't get out and, you know, see the sunshine and interact with people to the degree that you need, I can tell you, very short order, more than any other personality color, within 90 days, you're going to have shoulder knots, your jaw's going to be tight, you are going to have headaches, it's going to go down into your hips, and you just plain don't feel good. So what we want to do is we want to create an environment where you can be successful and that matches your motivation. Interesting, interesting. Each of the four colors, all desiring success, yet each of the four colors defining it different. So let's jump in and let's do Maria from England. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Carol. It's such a privilege to speak to you.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for calling me all the way from England. How can I help you?
Carol, I think that I'm a green, and I'd just like to know, I'm recovering from an illness at the moment, and I'm at a little bit of a crossroads. There's sort of new things ahead, which will be career, health, relationships, etc., and just really for you to go in and give me any indication of any kind of success to look forward to, really.
Okay, absolutely. So what I need to do is I need to ask you, do you make decisions because they feel right, or you make decisions because you think that you should?
Feel right.
Good. And the reason I had you do that, hon, is I had you reconnect with your neurology. The careers that you're looking at, and it even feels like what you're looking to do to restore your health to the degree that you know inside you're capable of, you're going to have to follow that heart. Whatever decision you make has got to feel right to you. If there's any part of it, Maria, that does not feel right to you, sweetie, don't let anybody, anything back you into a corner.
Okay.
That doesn't mean don't listen to doctors, listen to them. But if they're asking you to do things that doesn't feel right, you don't have enough information. That's what that emotion is saying to you. I don't have enough information to feel comfortable with this.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing that you're going to want to do. By nature and your personality, you are going to be looking for things that are natural. Greens by nature don't like to put a lot of pharmaceuticals or to contaminate their body. They don't like to contaminate their careers doing things that they don't like, and they don't like to do it with their body. So the most important thing I can say to you is always let your heart drive your decisions.
Okay.
As far as a career, there's a couple of things. It feels to me like you're going to have to be on some kind of a limited work schedule, meaning that you're not going to be able to put in a lot of hours, and you're not going to be able to work at a job that's going to be physically stressful to you.
Yes.
And so what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to start slowly into an area that you can feel comfortable with. Are you considering going back to school?
Yes.
Good. Good, good, good. And what are you considering exploring?
Homeopathy.
Perfect. Perfect, perfect. Why do I say that? Because it matches with your healer. You have a tremendous sense of compassion about you. You're expressive that way. You have a wonderful active ear of listening. You also aren't so set in your ways that you couldn't try a lot of different things. You know, in homeopathy, it's really a subtle energy medicine. So it'll bring in kind of your spiritual knowing, your intuitive knowing, your empathic aspect into it. So that would be of great value to you. The tasks themselves would be a match with what you're looking at, what you want to bring to the world. That healer part of you wants to enable someone. Now, I have to be careful that word, but I'm going to start out with that. Enable someone to want to participate in their own healing. So yeah. What you do is you kind of create this sacred environment that it's like, oh my gosh, I have just got to do this, Maria. There's no way around it. That's what you do when I say that you enable people. But once they recognize the power within them, then they have to do the work. What you don't want to do, honey, is you don't want to stay with someone that says that they want to do the work or use the remedies or whatever it is, and they don't. And so at some point in time, you're going to be required to stand up, and you're going to say to them, this requires that you take these remedies, that you apply them, that you work with it subtle energy, and then lay it out for them. And if they're not willing to do that, then it isn't that you failed. It's just that there wasn't a match between what they wanted and what you are offering to provide them. You are not an enabler. You just want to create the environment, enable them to see there's more opportunities, but you're not going to carry people on your back. So that is very important. The metaphor carrying them on your back has to do anytime you get muscle tension, you've got somebody on your back and it's not serving you well, whether it's a thought, whether it's a belief, whether it's an emotion, whether it's a past, whether it's literally someone that you're emotionally carrying in your physicalness or someone that's riding you, that's not where you want to be.
Okay.
So first thing is make your decisions logically. And the minute those shoulders start hurting, you're compromised, sweetie.
Okay.
Pretty easy, huh?
Yeah, that's excellent.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much for calling me all the way from England.
Thank you,
So
Carol.
I said, My pleasure. So I started out the show by saying that I'm going to give you 7 keys to unlock the door of success. And these keys are applicable to all personality colors. In fact, the words that I use to put these key together actually talk to each of the neurology of the 4 colors. Number 1, know your personality color, because it's what determines who you really are, how you think, and why you act the way you do. Number 2, see yourself as being successful. No one has a better picture of what success should look like to you than you. Believe in yourself. Number 3, if you don't, who will? 4, talk success. Use statement that verbally support the perception you have of you being successful. Convey self-confidence and self-respect without sounding arrogant. Very, very important. Anytime you talk about your success or you share what you would like to manifest in your life, if it is out of alignment with the essence of who you are and your personality neurology, what you will say will sound like blah, 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 blah to someone else. It will sound like it has a tremendous amount of ego and it has a tremendous amount of arrogance around it. Number 5. Trust that success is yours. Don't doubt your success or question it. Remember the law of magnetic attraction. Confusion attracts confusion. Remember that sympathetic energy that I talked about. And in that particular process, if you are sending out mixed messages, you are going to get mixed messages. Let your appearance and demeanor reflect your success. There's an old adage that says, what you see is what you get. Remember that first impressions can either make or break you. Number 7, live being successful every day. In other words, make the choices that support that you're working from your personality color, the neurology, and the innate qualities and traits and strengths that you have, and commit time every day to activities that are going to move you one step forward to the attainment of the success that you desire. You have heard me use the word over and over, desire. Desire is a neutral word in the energy field. Desire means that you're engaged in the process. You truly desire something. But what it doesn't say is, I must control every single aspect of it. So desire says, here I am, universe. This is what I desire. I'm going to be a part of the process. I'm going to take the steps. I can see who I am. I know who I am. I know what I'm good at. I know how I measure it. And then what I'm going to do is I am going to hold that desire and I am not going to control the outcome. A lot of personalities are thinking, well, come on, Carol, how can that happen? You've got to do things. Absolutely. But when you try to control the outcome, I will tell you, it is somebody else's perception of success that's driving you and not your own. Lots of good information. And remember that while the key to success is not a destination. The key to success is to see it as a journey. Oh, I would have, that's just kind of a number 8 on that. I would have, you know, hung up on the show and said, oh my gosh, I forgot one of the most important things. It is a journey. Success is something we should live every day, every moment of our lives. Then we can measure it by our own parameters. Okay, I've got a very quick time to be able to take a call. So let's do Debbie from line 1 from Michigan. Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
I would like to know if you could help me with a medical situation.
Okay.
And I would like to know, I've been to several specialists and everything. I need to know. They can't find out anything. They've got me on medications and trying everything like that.
Okay.
I need to know if you can point me to a direction to get better.
Okay, so we're talking about your eyes, is that correct? That's what I'm seeing on my screen?
Yes.
Okay, and so let me ask you, there's a couple of things. Have they thrown out macular degeneration word to you?
I think they have. I've been to so many, I can't even tell you.
Yeah, so let me go in and let me start out. Your eyes are dry, aren't they, sweetie?
Sort of, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so the first thing is that I'm going to go in and I'm going to kind of take it from the outside and work in. The eyes themselves, there's a couple things that I can pick up a dryness in your eyes. That is letting me know that we've got an allergy. You've got a histamine that is active in your body that's an allergy that's causing some of the irritation that I'm picking up on the surface of the eye and the lack of the dryness of the eyes. That has to do with the immune system that needs a little tender loving care. So as you're looking at the eyes, even though they're a long way from where your spleen is in that third chakra, I would like you to look at foods that you can eat. You can actually go and do some research. You could go to Edgar Cayce Institute, ARE, Association of Research Enlightenment. You can actually Google and find out what Cayce would say about eye problems. So that's the first thing on the outside. The reason I started there, Debbie, is because then that will get your mind from fixating always on your eyes. When I go deeper into the eyes itself, what's occurring in the eyes is not on both eye. On both of the eyes. On the right eye, I have a different situation than I do in the left eye. In the right eye, I've got some macular degeneration. I have some, peripheral vision that seems to be going away. It almost feels like I've got a little bit of cloudiness in one part of the eye itself. On the left eye, it feels like, have they talked about cataracts at all?
No, huh? No cataracts.
Okay. What are they? That's interesting. So what are they saying about your left eye? Let me go in and ask you that way.
They really don't say anything. They say my vision's okay and that I just have this problem.
I can tell you, sweetie, the vision in the right eye, the peripheral vision, is beginning to become limited, and I can find a little small speck in the right eye where I'm getting a little bit of cloudiness. When I go to the left eye, I get, let's see if I can do this. When I go into the cornea, I can find a little part of the cornea that's not seated the way that it needs to. So there's been an infection in that particular area. There's been some ulceration in that particular area. I can find some. Did they find the little ulcerated areas on that left eye?
No, they haven't. They haven't found anything.
They don't know.
I've been to a lot of specialists, yeah, but they really don't know.
Yeah.
They just tell me I have this one condition and that's it.
Yeah. Okay. So what condition are they telling you? I'm going to go that route.
Nystagmus.
Okay. No, you don't. And I would like you to find someone that'll go in and actually look at the eyeball itself. I'd like them to look for a couple of fine little ulcers on the left eye. I would like them to look at the left cornea. Again, it's not a major problem from the standpoint of it being dangerous or anything, but something to look at. I actually do have some peripheral loss in that right eye. I would love someone to, instead of looking at both eyes simultaneously and clumping everything together as far as one thing, I'd like them to look at eyeball to eyeball. And then my sense is then they would be able to find something that would give you a sense of what you can do instead of just blanketing it. It's just, your eyes are too different when I touch them. And so, have you gone to a Mayo or gone any place? I'm going to ask one last question in here. Have you gone to any university, anything that has some
yes.
of the... Okay.
Was there two universities.
Was there one female doctor that you really, really liked?
No. Okay. I have never seen a female doctor.
Okay, I want you to go find a female doctor at one of the places that you go and ask her what her opinion is. You trust
okay.
you trust
the problem now.
Yeah, well, you trust feminine energy more than you trust masculine energy. And you need someone that will listen to you and won't clump you into this one tidy, nice little tidy box that one size fits all. That's what I can tell you emotionally needs to happen. And then both eyes are different.
Okay.
So, go in. If you go to a university, then your insurance, you may be able to work around your insurance. So see if you can do that. I do not believe you have what you've been diagnosed with. How's that? I'm going to put myself on the line on that one. I don't believe. I think you're caught up in that one size fits all, sweetie, and that's not, at least for me, I can't go there where I'm just going to put you into a category. There's too much going on.
So I need each individual eye look differently at?
Yes, you do. You do. You need them to look at every aspect of each eye differently. I want them to look at the eyeball itself. I want them to look at the cornea. I want them to look at the retina. I want them to look at the tear ducts. I want them to look at the conjunctivita part of the lid itself. I want them to go in. I want them to look for macular degeneration behind it. I want them to look for cholesterol. I want them to do eyeball to eyeball.
Okay.
So maybe that will give you some help there. It's a lot of information. I hate to cut you short, but I'm running out of time. Thanks, Debbie. Most appreciated that you called me. Everyone that called me, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful day. I enjoyed sharing all about success, sharing my medical intuitive skills. I hope you'll join me again next Wednesday. I'm on every 10 o'clock. I'm on every Wednesday at 10 o'clock, and I'll see you then on the radio. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.